Planning demand and demand plan. Planning demand includes forecasting activities, but that is just its start. Planning demand moves beyond predicting what demand will be because it is a plan for action based partly on those predictions. A key output of the demand planning process should be regular updates to the demand plan. The demand plan is a consensus document requesting products and services from the supply side of the organization to meet the expected future demand for the organization's products and services in each period. It is an estimate of how many products customers will purchase, in what unit sizes, at what price, and on what timetable so the organization and its suppliers can determine how much to produce, when to produce it, and when to ship it. The demand plan is based partly on forecasting and partly on commitments by the demand side of the organization to generate the necessary demand to meet the plan and the goals set in the organization's business plan. Planning demand can be highly collaborative. For example, collaborative planning, forecasting, and replenishment systems help formalize the coordination of forecasting and demand plan creation. Demand plan inputs. The demand plan, as shown in Exhibit 1-22, influences and is influenced by forecasting, by commitments by product and brand management, marketing and sales to create, influence, manage, and prioritize demand, and by the business plan and strategy. Exhibit 1-22, demand plan inputs. In addition to the plans listed in Exhibit 1-22, other key inputs to the demand plan are the assumptions used and the level of uncertainty encountered by the persons responsible for preparing the forecasts. These assumptions and uncertainties should be documented, reviewed, and challenged in the monthly S&OP review process to validate that the demand plan is realistic and actionable. Knowledge of assumptions and uncertainties will also help the organization determine the best way to arrive at a consensus regarding demand plan numbers. Uses of demand plan. The demand plan is used by multiple areas of the organization because it indicates demand both in units and in monetary amounts such as euros or dollars. In this way, each audience for the demand plan can view the information in the most meaningful terms. Operations, logistics, customer service, and product development can view the plan in units. Finance can view the plan in monetary amounts. Marketing and sales can view both units and monetary amounts. For example, the plan may provide sales with an indication of the types and numbers of units that will be available to sell per product family, and also expected sales goals. Another use of the demand plan is for validation and control of the plans of individual departments within an organization. Operations and logistics can verify that resource plans are sufficient to meet the expected levels of demand. Finance can use the plan to forecast revenues, product costs, profit margins, and cash flows. Executives can review these projections and determine if the demand plan and related plans of product and brand management, marketing and sales will have the desired financial and market share results. If not, executives and managers can use the replanning process as a business control. However, the demand plan should not be arbitrarily changed to match the business plan. This would send a signal that the demand analysis and consensus activities at an organization are not valued or respected. A key control to keep demand plans realistic is to treat the plans as a request for product from the supply side of the organization. In making this request, the demand side of the organization is stating that it is committed to creating this amount of demand and selling the products in the requested amounts. Holding the demand side of the organization accountable for the consequences of producing too much inventory can be an effective control over unrealistic demand plans. Close scrutiny of the demand plan can also reveal when inputs may be biased or assumptions unrealistic. For example, if the demand plan input by sales shows a reduction in demand but there is no change in the underlying assumptions from the prior periods, executives could question why the demand was lowered. If the sales force is compensated based on meeting its sales targets, it may have been a case of lowering the target so that success would be easier to achieve. Planning horizon and revision period. A best practice is to produce a demand plan that has at least an 18-month planning horizon and to revise it by replanning on a regular basis. Many organizations use the S&OP process to incorporate these regular revisions to the plan and to reconcile and synchronize their internal department plans. Regular revision allows the plan to quickly reflect changes in external factors, such as the economy or competitor actions, as well as internal factors such as branding and product lifecycle decisions, lower or higher than expected results from marketing activities or sales promotions, and efforts to bring the plan into alignment with the business plan and strategy. An 18-month minimum horizon has other advantages. It ensures that each period's demand has been planned and reviewed multiple times, with increasing accuracy each time. Planned product and brand management and marketing activities typically span at least an 18-month horizon, and sales activities typically span at least a 12-month horizon, so the most current and reliable information on internal plans and likely actions of customers and competitors falls within this 18-month range. If the demand plan does not seem to be capable of achieving the goals in the business plan and strategy, a longer horizon allows organizations time to plan and execute additional activities to meet the revenue goals. If the demand plan shows a need to increase capacity, it gives the organization sufficient time to approve and execute capital expenditures. By mid-year, the demand plan will show the next year's projected demand and can be used as a key input to the annual business plan.